This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Can the Western power grid take this heat? I'm David Brancaccio. California's electricity network could face its toughest test today, given a persistent heat wave that has businesses and households keeping the AC going. Officials are worried about blackouts if the grid were to buckle. Fresno's getting to 112 degrees today. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
For a week now, officials in California have been asking the public to conserve power after 4 p.m. during peak demand and when solar power is less available. But today, the system will face its biggest test, with temperatures forecast to reach highs of up to 115 degrees in some parts of the state, and not much relief during evening hours. The California Independent System Operator, which manages the power grid, expects unprecedented demand. The agency says energy conservation today will likely have to increase by 2- to 3-fold in order to avoid brownouts, which is when officials limit power to some customers for certain periods of time. Maintaining a functioning power grid is a safety issue and an economic one. Last year, during a deep freeze in Texas, power outages led to more than 100 deaths and insured losses of up to $20 billion. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Staying with energy infrastructure here, the Colorado River has a supply and demand problem. Too many farmers and cities and hydroelectric dams drawing on the river amid the persistent drought. 7 Western states had missed a federal deadline to come up with a water conservation plan. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has an update.
The Department of the Interior gave the basin states 60 days to figure out how to conserve at least 2 million acre feet, about as much Colorado River water as the whole state of Arizona uses in a year.
Unprecedented,
says Jason Robison, a professor of natural resources law at the University of Wyoming.
2 to 4 million acre feet in conservation savings blows the doors off of anything that has been done since the onset of the mega drought in 2000.
So he says it's not surprising that the states couldn't work it out in 2 months. But this all started with an ultimatum. Interior said, negotiate cuts or we'll impose them. And so far, they haven't made good on that threat. Some stakeholders see the lack of direction as sort of an extension, like Adele Hajj-Khalil, director of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California.
I think they opened the door to continue the dialogue on some additional voluntary cuts that we need to make that can respond to the changing climate because the conditions are not getting better.
He's optimistic that funding in the Inflation Reduction Act could help move things along. He says it can be used to pay farmers to conserve water. Other stakeholders are hungry for some stronger leadership from the feds.
Well, I think we would have liked to have seen a definite deadline.
Stephen Rowe Lewis is governor of the Gila River Indian Community, just south of Phoenix, which recently stopped voluntarily contributing water to a statewide reservoir. He says that sends a message that his community won't continue to make sacrifices while others are not.
Using our water resources as leverage, that was, I think, an important strategic move to really advance a plan.
If negotiations continue to break down, Jason Robison at the University of Wyoming says the federal government has the legal authority to impose some unilateral cuts. That doesn't mean it wants to flex that muscle.
It really is a backstop.
He says all parties would rather the conservation be voluntary, but with 40 million people relying on the river for water and electricity, the consequences of inaction are dire. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
S&P futures are up 0.8% now. NASDAQ futures are also up 0.8%. Crude oil is down 0.4% this morning, $86.50 a barrel. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage is up 0.2% from last week, 6.05 now. Stock in Bed Bath & Beyond is down 16% in pre-market trading right now, this after the retail chain's chief financial officer took his own life on Friday. The company is saying its initial review of a lawsuit accusing the CFO and others of a scheme to fraudulently inflate the price of the stock appears to have no merit. Last week, the New Jersey-based retailer said it is closing 150 stores and laying off one in five of its people. Sales have declined at Bed Bath & Beyond, which made bad bets on the types of merchandise to sell through different phases of pandemic.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
With the Texas governor sending migrants detained at the Mexican border by bus to places that have declared themselves sanctuary cities, New York and now Chicago are among the destinations that Texas has assigned. Many people have already been processed as asylum seekers or are awaiting decisions on their status. Now, the strategy has budgetary implications for Texas. From Austin, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
The Texas Division of Emergency Management says the state has spent more than $12 million busing some 7,400 migrants to Washington, D.C., New York, and now Chicago. And Abel Nunez, executive director of the Central American Resource Center in Washington, D.C., says that's not even the full price tag.
That's only the buses. They still have to hire a security detail company that is also charging them money.
Nunez says this policy also might actually cause more people to cross into Texas from Mexico.
Because everyone's saying you're going to get a free ride. I mean, there are free benefits. They're going to put it on their social media networks that, look, if you're going to go into the U.S., best go to Texas because Texas will give you a free ride.
And that's great for some who may have headed to cities like New York anyway, but others may have family in Texas and want to stay. Now, Governor Abbott says he's trying to bring attention to what he calls a crisis at the southern border. And the state's attorney general says Texas spends more than $150 million to house detainees each year. But it's unclear how much of that money comes from the federal government. New York has been welcoming to the buses, but Muzaffer Chishti, a senior fellow at the Migration Policy Institute, says that sentiment could wear thin.
We frankly don't know how that welcome will last, given that these are reasonably expensive services and shelters and employment referrals and healthcare needs.
And he says those services could eventually put a real strain on New York City's resources. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our producers are Meredith Garrison, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Erica Soderstrom, and Jarrett Dang. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.